The following podcast is recommended for mature audiences only. The following podcast is recommended for adults only. Maturity is not a requirement.
Hello and welcome to episode 68 of Dear Download, a podcast about Download Festival, music and the industry, and all other aspects relating to rock and heavy metal. This episode, we've got a very special guest coming on later on. We'll go into that in a minute. First of all, I'm Adam, and as always, I am here with Simon. How are you doing, my man?
Hello, and good day to you, Sire.
How are you doing? Yeah, you doing all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Excellent. Liam, our guest on this episode. So we didn't really know much about him before talking to him, if I'm honest. So it all came about when I was on TikTok. A lot of you might have seen we've put some of our sort of clips of our episodes on TikTok now. I was trying to leave TikTok. And, you know, all social media does it, you know, you press the back button and it shows you something else. And then it shows you something else, just to try and keep you on their platform. And Liam was doing a live stream on TikTok. In the background, he'd written, you know, ask me any question about festivals. So I thought, I might ask him some questions about festivals. I'm going to go into his live and have a look and see what he's got to say. And it came from there. Yeah, some of the people that were already in the live watching him, they put in the comments, dear Download, you should get Liam on the podcast. And I thought, all right, why not? Let's get him on the podcast, see what he's got to say. I mean, I checked out some of his other videos. He definitely does know what he's talking about when it comes to festivals, and you'll hear that in the episode. Really good guy. Really fun to chat with, actually. I told him beforehand. He asked what the topic would be, and I said, it won't really be a topic other than festivals. I think the conversation would just flow really well because he's quite similar to us. So, yeah, it was a good chat.
Yep.
But before that, we have some huge announcements to make. We'll try and keep them quick, but not too quick that we rush over them too quick. So, merch. We've been talking about merch for a while, and today we had our first item of merch arrive at my house. And they're very cool. Are we going to say what they are yet? Can we say what they are?
Yeah, you can say what they are.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay. I'm going to show it as well. I'm going to make a little TikTok video or a little shorts video of this as well. Maybe I'll put it up on the... I think I'll do that. So we have had our own Dear Download podcast festival wristbands turn up at my house. And they are very cool. They do look very, very nice.
Very cool.
And I'm going to show you. And I'll probably put this out to the Patreons first to have a look before everybody else, because you guys deserve it. You absolute massive legends. Another thing we're going to talk about in a minute.
True that.
But, yes. So you can see festival. I'll put it on my wrist. Festival wristband. I'm going to take it off and show you the whole. I'll take it off and show you the whole thing. Because you can take these ones off as well. It's not like the normal festival ones you get that are clamped on. So we've got our little logo on the end. I don't know if it's going to focus very well. It's all backwards. I might try and switch this over.
No, that's good.
Little skull. Podcast, Download, Dear. And I didn't want to put another skull on this end, so I just put some biscuits there. And then another little bit. And then our other emblem on that end. So it's a bit blurry. I can't get it to focus properly. But we have been waiting on these for, I don't know, probably about 3 weeks. My own design as well. I designed these. I designed the art. I did have the guy from the wristband company send an email saying, not very good. Basically, he was like, we need to do it on a different type of wristband because you've used a gradient on the colours. So I phoned him and I had to say that I'm not an artist. Do you just want to design it for me? they sent something back and I couldn't see any difference of what they did. And I was like, oh, do you know what? I'll just take a few bits off, make sure I haven't got lots of like too many different colours, and send it back to him. And he said, yeah, that's fine. That works. So, yeah, it worked out. And we've got some other things coming. Do we say what they are, or do we want to reveal when we have them?
Wait, bait.
Excellent. But yes, so I think we're going to wait until we've got two or three different items in stock before we actually start selling them.
Yes.
Does that sound right? Yeah. And we are going to be selling them mostly, well, we are going to be selling them pretty much only on our Discord to start with. We want to wait until we've got a decent amount of different types of, you know, merch, different items to be before we set up like an Etsy page or something like that, or an online storefront. So if you are interested in having a look what we got in merch wise, come and join the Discord. There will be a shop channel, I guess, set up soon. You'll be able to have a look through it all and have all the prices on there. And we'll work it just through PayPal. You know, just you can just send me a message saying this is what you want, these items, and I'll confirm with you first before taking any money. I'll confirm with you whether we've got those in stock and everything at that point, and then yeah, we'll do the deal from there. And I think it'll work quite well to start with.
Yeah, get the deal done. You'll get the deal done.
Yeah. So yes, we are waiting on a few other things to come in. That's the first one. That's the one I've been waiting for. And I don't think anybody else is doing wristbands as merch.
No, which is really good. Different, yeah. Hopefully. Yeah, but you guys are really, really going to like them because they look really cool and it's different. And yeah, it's just a bit of fun. And they turned out really, really well.
Yeah, they look good. They look really good. But yes, I said we need to talk about Patreon as well. We have added a couple more Patreon tiers. And we changed them a little bit. Did we change the £3 and the £5 one? We didn't, did we? But we are going to be adding.
We did. We are, yeah.
Yeah, we are going to be adding a wristband to the £5 tier. So anybody new who joins is going to get a wristband as well. We are going to send a little goodie bag of a few different things to the people who have been with us for this last year. So that's why I said new there. Don't worry. Don't think, oh, I'm not new. I'm not getting it. We're not a broadband company or a telephone company.
We'll only offer you these if you're new. Okay? We don't give a fuck about the people that have been supporting us for the last 2 years. Nah.
Yeah. No, you guys who have been with us for a long time and have supported us through this last year, you are going to get a little, yeah, a parcel of a few different things to say thank you. But yes, officially, anybody new who joins up to the £5 tier or higher, actually, £5 tier or higher, will get a wristband. We are going to add a few little bits to the other tiers, the other higher tiers, when we get more stuff as well, but we can add them before we get them. But yeah, so we've added an £8 tier, and there's something new we're going to be doing as well, isn't there? Which is exciting.
There is.
We're going to be doing, once a month, we're going to do a live show. And we're calling it 5 Song Set Lists. So we've spoken about it similar to this before. We've said maybe an album, but albums can be quite long. So we've decided to go for a 5 Song Set List. So me and Simon will listen to the set list curated by either us or the Patreons, which we'll get to in a minute. So yeah, for the £8, if you join the £8 tier, you can jump into that live and listen to us listening to that, I guess, the 5 song set list. But I hear you asking, what is this 5 song set list? Well, if you join the £10 tier, you will be able to give us a set list of 5 songs that you want us to listen to. And so we thought it'd be really cool because it's not just putting 5 songs together for us to listen to. We want you to think about it properly. What would be your opening song? If you were to see this band live and you had to pick their 5 songs, the only 5 songs that they could play, what do you want them to open with? What do you want them to finish with? Do you want to put a ballad in the middle if they have ballads, or if they're one of those bands that do ballads? Do you want them just playing fast and heavy all the way through? So I think that is going to be really cool. We have had a few people join the £10 tier so far already. So now we need to sit down and work out what date we're going to do it this month. Are we going to do a Wednesday? Are we going to do one of the Wednesdays that we are?
Definitely going to be a Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah, cool. So it'll be a Wednesday that we aren't doing the podcast.
We'll break up the week for everyone, have a little bit of fun on a Wednesday night. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. But because we're going to be playing music in it, it's not something we can release on any platforms really after, but I think we can put it in the Patreon, so any Patreons who can't make it can download the video privately. I think that will work. I have to look into that,
There's a few bits we're figuring out, basically, but we have come up with some really cool ideas for these, and we sat down and talked about it, and we've come up with obviously different tiers. We got new merch coming, so yeah, we're just trying to push things in the right direction and give you guys more control and give you guys more rewards for supporting us, basically, because it does mean a lot to us all you supporting us, so we want to sort of give it back and say, yeah, we'll do this. It'll be a bit of fun for us, a bit of fun for you guys as well. So yeah, really cool.
Yeah. My first one was definitely going to be Saliva, because I think you should listen to more Saliva.
Okay.
But like I said, we've had a few people already, so we might just jump in straight and do somebody else's, because I think we've got three at the £10 tier already, so one of those is going to be waiting 3 months until their set list, or 4 months if I do one first. So yeah, we'll work it out, but it's going to be very cool. It will definitely happen. It's going to be awesome. And the other announcement is coming up, well, at the time of recording, it is 10 weeks to download.
Is that it?
It's 10 weeks to download.
Holy hell.
Yeah.
Okay, that's come round really quick.
It has. It has. It's ridiculous. And next episode is a huge, huge episode. Not only is it episode 69, but, it's, but it will be the beginning of our countdown to download episode. So we are going to be talking about every single band that are playing on the Friday next episode.
Nice.
And I can't wait to that. I have already put together the file that has all the write-ups from the download website.
Okay.
There's only one band on the Friday that don't have a write-up, and that's Biohazard.
No write-up?
No, because they haven't got a write-up on Spotify. Basically, download, just take the write-ups from Spotify and stick them in on the website. I hope they're not paying somebody a lot of money to do that, because if they're paying them a lot of money, they could at least write something of their
own. Who's copying? Who's writing? Who's copyright? Who's looking over this stuff, these details, you know? Because we are available.
Yeah. But yeah, just to have no write-up on a website of a band that's playing your festival, you know? Put something together yourself, for fuck's sake. Oh, no, I can't copy somebody else's work for this. Let's
go on Wikipedia. Blank. I mean, just, you know, like, what on earth?
Yeah. But, yeah, Biohazard. You know enough about Biohazard. I'll go to the toilet while you're talking about them or something. but that was all of the announcements we had to make, I think. Let me check. Yes. Anything you wanted to announce? Anything you want to talk about before we go into the episode?
No announcements from me.
No. Well,
nothing I want to announce.
Let's have a chat with Liam then. Okay, so as you will have just heard, this episode we are joined by Liam. Do you know what? I don't even know his surname. Liam, what's your surname, man?
Man, what surname is Walton.
Walton. Not Liam Walton. And yeah, I'm sure I would have said how this came about. I was on TikTok. I was trying to leave the app. And you know, as they do, they try and keep you hooked, keep you in there. And so they saw, so Liam's live sort of popped up. And in the background, it said, ask me anything about festivals. So I did. I stuck around and asked him a couple of questions. And then he's here. So like I said, Liam, I've said a couple of little bits about you, but I haven't sort of scoured everything you do to find out everything you do. I haven't stalked you or anything. Don't worry about that. But do you want to tell the listeners just a little bit about yourself, what you do, what your festival background is, that kind of thing?
Yeah, for sure. So I've been working at and attending festivals now for like 15 years. I sort of found myself working within them by accident. So I know we sort of talked about this before the episode started. My initial sort of cutting my teeth within events was working for the security company that do download. So I did a bunch of different things within security, and within that sort of learned, oh, I really like working at events as well as attending them, right? Like there was that sort of thrill of seeing all the people have such a great time that, you know, I knew that was going to be me for at least the foreseeable future. Then worked doing security for a few years, did Bloodstock, did Download Festival, did all those kind of slightly less nice ones before realizing, you know, I could work in events without having to tussle with people or, you know, have people coming down on my head when I'm working. So I took a bit more of a step into like a bit of a more operational role, club promoter, doing that kind of thing at the Leadmill in Sheffield, where I still DJ now. I ran a alternative club night there called Wrong Crowd, which I've been running for about 5 years now. And alongside running that, progressively started getting into DJing. So that's kind of what my primary job is now, alongside being a content creator. I DJ at rock and emo nights, primarily sort of across the country. Leadmill gave me the chance, and then just, you know, it's just gone well since there. So that's kind of really what got me into TikTok. I wanted to provide a bit more of a behind-the-scenes look into the life of an alternative DJ. I think there's a lot of stuff on the internet about being like a rave DJ, or like being out in Ibiza or doing all of these festivals in that sense. Yeah. But there isn't really anything that I saw about people that were doing it for, you know, the alternative scene. So that's kind of my background. It's sort of like transitioned from working and attending events to now DJing at them and making content about them, basically. And that's kind of where I'm at now.
Yeah. Am I right? Did I hear you say you're working for Big Green Coach as well?
Yeah, I volunteer with them and go and work with their operational team.
Okay.
They have one of the best schemes for people wanting to not pay for a ticket. I'll put this out here now. Yeah, absolutely. So their system of volunteering, you know, a lot of volunteering things that you have out there, it's like you work a 4-hour pattern here, a 4-hour pattern here. There's a chance that you might miss some of the bands that you want to see in exchange for your ticket. And I've never really been interested in that. I want to know that I'm seeing those people that I'm there for. So what's good about Big Green Coach is that you do like 6 hours on the first day, and then you do 6 hours on the last day. So you get the entirety of the festival. You just do whatever you want. And that's kind of where I got into working with Big Green Coach. You know, I just think that's great. I've done that for Leeds Festival three years in a row now.
Yeah.
It's good fun working with them doing that. You meet a lot of interesting people doing that too.
So what kind of jobs do they offer? Was it just driving coaches, or is there other things to do with it?
I wish I could drive a coach. No, it's like it's really easy stuff. Like, it's just helping unload and load up the coaches, pointing people in the general direction of where they need to be. Just, it's really a stewarding role. You know, it's kind of like a stewarding role within that. But super easy. The team are lovely. I can't recommend it enough as an experience. And they are doing Download Festival this year. I'm not too sure if there will be opportunities available to volunteer still, but there certainly was last time I spoke to them about it.
Nice. To be honest, but from everyone that I've heard that's worked for a festival, they've always had a good time and they've always enjoyed what they're doing as well. Like, I've never heard anything negative from people working at a festival. I'm sure there have been some, but from everyone that we've spoken to or people that we know that have worked at them, they always have an amazing time. So it sounds like a blast.
I think it's because that industry gravitates, or it sort of pulls in people that want to have a good time. They enjoy watching other people have a good time, right? And I think in turn that then, you know, helps the entire festival experience. And, you know, I think that's people, the money's not good, right? The money's not good. That's no secret that the money is no good. So there's got to be something else which is keeping people coming back to those jobs. And it is just that it is such a fun time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So there were a couple of questions that I did ask you in that live. One of them you said to sort of DM you after, because we obviously want to try and get a bit more involved in Download Festival officially if we can. And I was thinking a while ago, well, probably one of the first things would be to do like a DJ set or something. That's probably maybe one of the first steps of the ladder. But I would have no idea what to do. You know, you have to take your own laptop? Because you see bands doing their own DJ sets and everything. Other podcasts like Sappening did it last year. Although I think it might have been the Blackout. But like, I want to ask, but I'm scared that I won't be able to do it. Do you know if you have to take your own laptop or just a USB stick, or just tell him a list of songs?
No, he does. He takes them all on vinyl. Yeah, he has all his vinyl.
CDs. No, I mean, it's a great question. You know, as people that have never done it before, I think it can look a bit scary, but it's actually not. So if I was to, what I do, I normally play, I use like a little controller thing. So I do use a laptop. I use a controller setup for rock music and indie, which is what I almost exclusively play. No one's wanting to hear you putting special beat match transitions on, so all that kind of thing. It's just just not what people want, right? In particular, it was actually one of the reasons why I started DJing, because I was going to the rock clubs that were playing drum and bass remixes of songs that I wanted to mosh to, and it's just not what I'm about. But like, so you can do it one of two ways. So that is the first way. So you'd have your laptop with like an encyclopedia of songs on, you would sort of prepare a set list, then you could do it that way.
Yeah,
I think the more done thing really now, and especially if you're sort of at like festival level, is USBs, as you said. Yeah. So you sort of build that collection of songs up on your USB sticks, and then you would use them using CDJs, which they have pretty much everywhere now. It's like the industry standard equipment. And people spend years doing that, you know. It's just building up that collection and adding to those USBs of songs and things. I've got a hard drive which has just got thousands and thousands and thousands of tunes on it, and I've been DJing for, what, like 5 years now? And I think I'm getting to the point I might need another one.
Wow. Nice. That's a lot of tunes.
Yeah. I think that's the big thing about being a DJ, right? I think, and I'll say this straight up, anybody can be a rock DJ, right? Technically, other than putting yourself on that stage in front of people, technically it's not a massively difficult thing to do. However, building up that knowledge in here of the songs, what responses they're going to get from people, you know, what's too done, what's not done enough, what do people want to hear? That's where the skill lies within DJing alternative music. It's knowing what that audience want. And, you know, it was something that I found easier to do because I was those people. You know, there was a massive gap in Sheffield for a club night that was playing newer music. And that's kind of where I have sort of found my niche. I sort of play those nights that, you know, on one hand, that of course you want the classics, right? No one wants a night where you're not going to be able to sing along to the songs. But at the same time, people want to hear something fresh.
Yeah.
And I think there's a way that you do that that is the art, right? It's balancing the fresh with the sing-alongs. Because you could go out and I could just play a bunch of hardcore tunes that no one knows about, you know what I mean? And I'd be having a great time.
Yeah.
But the people in the crowd would not be, and that's the big thing. Yeah. It's about remembering that you're there for those people and you're not there for you.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've been to both. I've been to DJs where they're playing loads of shit, which I have no idea. And then I've been to ones where I'm like, I have heard every single one of these songs a million times and I'm so bored.
I recently DJed at a rock club night in Sheffield, and I was with there, like, I had like a lighting engineer with me. And she was sort of telling me, she was like, I'm actually really good at this song and doing this into this song because they play it at the same time every weekend. So it's like, that's just a nightmare scenario for me. The idea of doing that, not only is that boring, right? That must be so boring to just play the same stuff over and over and over again. Like, also, that's just shit, right? You don't be doing that.
Is it Bon Jovi at the Bryan Adams?
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. We'll just stick a Pendulum track in the middle and maybe like Skrillex or something like that. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of, there's no rhyme or reason to it other than they're comfortable.
Yeah, I think Simon, have you ever done any DJ nights or DJ sets?
I've done them at house parties. I've never done one to people. It was fun, actually. That was a bit different. That was with vinyl, so it was a bit slightly different. I've never done anything, you know, laptop wise, old school analog. Give me some records that I know I can slam and beat match a little bit, but I've never done it with like metal.
Yeah,
so. I don't know.
Yeah.
You got the basics down using the techniques, right? Like, that's kind of like, you know, doing the beat matching and that sort of thing. Just, you know, you generally get a feel what works with each other anyway, just by doing it through time.
Yeah.
You know, that you learn the hard way what really doesn't work as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, it won't be Bon Jovi's Shot to the Heart into Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer. I don't know. That's what I was doing on the records.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like it's a real baptism of fire when you start to do it around strangers as well. Like, I had one standout memory of during the pandemic. I think I'd played Hyper by Electric Callboy. So it was a relatively new tune at this point, I think. And what that club that I was particularly playing at that night was known for indie music. So I had this one bloke down the front going, what is this shit? Turn this off. This is dreadful, dreadful, dreadful. And like, it can be like that. You know, it can be like that. People can really come up and and sort of give you stick about not playing exactly what they want to hear. The funny thing about that one is that I actually did get quite flustered, and in the fluster, started the song again. So it was like, this guy must have just been down the front looking at me as if, like, you know, like he's having a go at me, and all he sees me do is just wheel the track up. Like, really, that isn't what I was trying to do. He went absolutely mad. He ended up getting kicked out at the end.
I imagine that's the same as I've definitely played in bands before where you play these smaller places and you get random drunk people come in and they start shouting at you, play Oasis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, 100%.
It's probably the same thing, isn't it? Play Wonderwall.
100%. Yeah, yeah. We're in Sheffield, right? So it's Arctic Monkeys, everything. Oh, I could have just come out of playing a bit of deathcore and there'd be somebody with a phone in the crowd going, a bit of Arctic Monkeys? Like, you know what I mean? It's just how it is. I'm sure each city sort of has their own version of that as well, right?
That is great.
Yeah. I think I've done one DJ set before at, it was a club here. I'm from a small town in Somerset, so we didn't really have them before. I could have played anything, and it would have gone down all right. But I think I started with Party Hard by Andrew WK, and it went down really well. And I, at the end, I did the obvious Drowning Pool into Soil. That's I'm sure everyone would.
Classics, right? Classics, right? I think there's the thing with the Rock Nights, right, as well, is when you nail it, it feels way more rewarding. And I can't say for sure, but, you know, a lot of the people that come to the nights that I put on, I get the impression that they don't go out a lot, and that's cool. Or if they do go out, they'll save themselves for something like Download or something like Bloodstock or Outbreak. Yeah. So, you know, when you've achieved that people are coming out and having a good time and vibing with stuff that isn't being put on for them anywhere else otherwise, that's like the good feeling about, like, the rock DJing side of things. You know that you've achieved something. I always look back and wish that it existed for me when I was a student. Do you know what I mean? Because it was naff all around here. And even back home, there was quite a limited option of what was sort of out there. Yeah. I remember I would be that annoying guy that we just talked about. Like, we get a bit of trash talk on the boys. Surely, do you know what I mean? But that's I'm paying for my sins now in that sense.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Download are listening and they get the hint and we can get on and I can play lots of obscure Swedish bands to everyone. That's what I'd really want to do, and I'd have it in my head, and I'll go, that'll work. Surely it'll work. I love these bands, but I'd know it wouldn't. I wouldn't. I mean, Simon probably wouldn't allow me to do it anyway. But
I often do this thing where I'll kind of queue up a risky one. Maybe not that kind of risky, but like I'll have a tune that I'll be a little bit unsure, and then I'll bottle it at the last minute. I'll be like, nah, I can't do this. I did a venue the other day, and it was like a real ale bar. We put on a kind of like hardcore pop punk sort of night, playing like the smaller bands, like the stuff that's at the bottom of this year's Downloads kind of vibe. And there was just a bunch of boys trying to have like beer flights whilst we were playing like ridiculous hardcore music to them, which was a good laugh. Hopefully I'll get a few more funny experiences like that doing this.
Nice.
It's cool.
And so there was another question that I asked you in your live, moving it on a little bit. I've got to apologize. I asked you the question on the live, and then my partner came home with my kids, so I was a bit distracted with your answer when you were actually answering it. I did ask, so what is the most amount of festivals you've done in a year? And I think you said something.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot. Right. I don't know if I can remember the number. But I think what I said in that situation was, with attending them and working them, I think since when the festivals started, which is what's the earliest point? May. It's usually Radio 1's big weekend is the first one.
That's like before May. That's like April, isn't it?
Is it?
May,
so that's the first one, right? That was when my festival year started. then I think between that point. And then when the festivals ended, which is what, late September, I think I'd slept in my own bed. I think it was like 8 times. Jeez. So like it was like, because we used to do the build and break as well. So like it wasn't even like you'd go and you'd just work the show. You would be that poor guy sat in a chair on a site whilst they put the stage up. The amount of stages I've watched get built to varying levels of health and safety is crazy. I saw one get put up in a day, which was not looking like it was going to happen at all. And this kind of like, I don't even know how to describe them, because, like, as much as they probably were bandits on one half, they got the job done extremely fast. And I remember just, like, looking up at these guys when I was in this chair, like, the fact that nobody has fallen off this yet is really wild. But, yeah, it was quite a long time. And, like, you know, all of that time spent in tents. So, yeah, weeks and weeks and weeks. I was, when I eventually decided to not work in security anymore, and don't get me wrong, the weeks and weeks and weeks and tents were a contributing factor towards no longer doing that anymore.
Yeah.
I've kind of now, like, I resent camping as no one likes. I mean, I think a very limited amount of people like camping anyway, right? I think that when the festivals all come out, everyone gets very excited about the music. I think there's very few people going, oh yeah, we're going to get to sweat to death in like a bag with poles in it.
I'd like to see the amount of people that go to a festival for the music, but the amount of people that would just go camping with no music.
Oh, it'd be a small percentage.
See that percentage. It would be a really small percentage. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess coming back to that, just a very long time and without an airbed in most of those cases as well. I was a ground mat boy.
Oh, and, no way.
Learned the hard way, for sure. That, like, comes back to, like, the thing about resenting it, right? Like, I feel like I need, like, a certain element of luxury now. And, like, I'm not talking luxury. But, the minging camping, I think I just can't do it no more.
You're special. You need a special one.
Yeah, do you know what? I worked at a festival. I worked at Kendall Calling Festival last year. And as part of that, I just got quite lucky that I know one of their members of staff. And I got to share a bunker bin. Have you ever been in one of those before?
No. What the hell is that?
It's incredible. It's incredible. It's like a little hotel room. It will put you in mind of like a caravan, maybe. They're all like kind of on stilts, and it's like a little box room with a bathroom and a shower, and there's two beds and in either side of them. And I know I'll never get that again. As well as the thing that I just struck lucky that I got to share it with him that particular weekend. Nice. But yeah, nah, to know that there's options like that available now as well, I'll be sat in my tent listening to the planes going over and thinking, wow, what could be?
Yeah, yeah. They do, though. A lot of festivals now, like we've talked about it before, we've Download mainly, but Nodes Bubble Festival as well. They offer so many weird sleeping versions now. Like you can, it goes all the way from staying in your tent to staying in like massive things that they've built purposely for you to stay in, but cost up to like £3,000, has a shower, or you get a £300 ticket where you stay on the floor in your tent.
Vast
difference now between those. It's weird.
Yeah, Download's got like multiple options now, doesn't it? I've seen that they've been sort of pushing that.
Too many.
I saw them do I did a video on TikTok quite recently about what Leeds Festival did. I don't know if you guys saw that, with the sort of like pre-pitched camping options that they're offering.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it was it was sort of announced for Download as well, but they kind of took them away quietly, didn't they?
Yes, they did. It was very quietly sort of like, I don't know. I think with Download as well, like I think that there was, you know, I didn't feel like it was aimed at sort of like nervy first timers in the way that the Leeds Festival one maybe was. So more, it's a more mature audience, I think, as well at Download. It definitely, I mean, it is like, as much as there's a younger contingent, right? But it's not to the same sort of scale as Reading and Leeds.
Oh, God, no. I look at a Reading and Leeds lineup and I'm like, I know two bands on there. because I'm not 18.
Yeah, sure. I really like this year's. And I think that like, it's funny because alongside being a massive mosher, I love pop music. I absolutely love pop music and hip hop. It's like I always say, because I DJ alternative music, and people say to me, like, what do you listen to at home? And I'd just be there like, oh, I got a bit of Ice Spice on me. Like, I'll be playing something ridiculous at work, and I'll be listening to that to prep for work. But yeah, I'm coming home and Taylor Swift's going on. for sure.
That's good. I like that.
Does Leeds sell out every year? Do you know?
It hasn't for a while.
It hasn't, okay.
Yeah, I don't think it has for a while.
Yeah, when they announced that, sort of, it was like a pen, wasn't it? Like you buy your own little pen for all of your tents and nobody else can camp there. I thought it would kind of work for something that sells out every year, like Glastonbury, you know, you want to have everybody together. But Download doesn't sell out every year. So obviously it ain't going to work there. I just assumed Reading and Leeds sold out every year, all the time.
I think Reading does more.
Does.
Okay. Yeah, Reading does more. I think that Reading and Leeds have been a festival that's really kind of struggled over the last few years. And I think that, like, in the grand scheme of things, and I think the wider sort of festival scene, I guess, I think this one's been really strongly received because, you know, previously it maybe wasn't as well received. It's been a while since I've seen Leeds sell out. I thought that this year maybe would with Blink. Like, Blink alone and how successful that tour was.
Yeah,
because I had friends who couldn't get resale tickets for that, and that is quite a rare thing in my opinion now. Like, I think not being able to score a resale ticket is rare. I thought that surely that's going to be, you know, that's going to get them towards that anyway, and then obviously all the other different bits that they sort of added on that. But no, it's not gone yet, and I would have thought that it would have. That's coming back to what you were mentioning. I think that was kind of where my gripes lied with that system, right? I was like, you know, if you can say we're up in our capacity or we can offer this as something else that you can have, I would just not care. I would just be like, yeah, it is what it is. But, like, I think in my mind, I was a bit concerned that it would take away from people that, you know, eventually, where does that stop? Do you know what I mean? It's just like, okay, so we're extending the pens at X, Y, Z, and it just makes it a bit more difficult for people that are general admission and have been going to these things for years who you know, they know the score. They don't want to have to shell out a bit of extra money. So that was like where my sort of thing, my issue kind of lay with it. Still thinking that Reading and Leeds are sold out, you know, and they're advertising that Reading is close. So maybe we'll see that happen this year.
Yeah, Reading probably will go, I reckon. I think Reading will probably sell out. But like I said, I've been to Reading, but people have told me that Leeds is great and great fun. It's just one of the ones I haven't had a chance to get to. Like, I didn't enjoy Reading, if I'm honest. It was horrible.
What year did you go?
2013. That was Blink headlining.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, I think they've got a lot better live since then. I think they've worked on it a little bit. I went to Leeds that year. I've actually been to Leeds every year for the last 15 years now, I think, in some way or another. Nice. Even the years when I can't camp, I'll go, because we're quite close in Sheffield to the site, and then obviously the big green coach thing kind of came in, and I was like, yeah, let's do this. For me, it's perfect. You know, for me, it's perfect because I feel like, although it is a lot less than it used to be with removing the pit stage and whatever they called that, the lockdown, it's still been quite good for me because I found it to be quite a balanced lineup. I would always say that, like, it's ticking both boxes for me as, like, a grime and hip hop fan, as a hardcore fan, as a metalcore fan. As a pop fan. So for me, it's always been good. Leeds Festival's good fun. But obviously, as I get older, you will naturally not vibe with the crowd as much. But I think it's always been that way. I think I went for the first time when I was 15. So I was part of the problem then. They were like, there's probably people sat somewhere on a podcast going, these 15-year-olds at this festival. It was me. Yeah, it's a good time. I'd recommend checking it out one time. It is a good vibe. So they've got good nightlife at Leeds Festival. Yeah, depending on what you like, I guess.
Yeah, but all the clips I've seen of everyone absolutely having a complete blast, and Reading was a bit dull, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I think last year I watched the TPD guys go to Leeds, what in a space that would have normally been absolutely ram packed. When I saw the footage from, was it last year? It was Imagine Dragons last year? Yeah, I think it was. It was terribly received. And then was apparently all right, but I think ultimately it was a bit of a flop in regards to, like, ticket sales and people being at the site. It actually shocked me to see how quiet it looked. So I don't think it was just Reading that particular year. I think there might have been some lineup things going on there that people weren't vibing with the same way.
Yeah, it happens.
We're straight out of a pandemic, though, I guess. And I think that's maybe, like, you know, as you've kind of talked about on here, booking bands is definitely harder than it ever was. And I feel like I'm hearing that from all of my friends within the industry. Sort of saying the same thing.
Yeah, going back to a question I wanted to ask when you said about you were working them. What happens with food for those? Because we've said a few times we could probably attend as media a lot more festivals than just download, but it's paying for it as well. It's not just getting a ticket for free. You got to pay for food, which is extortionate.
So It depends how well the festival are looking to look after you. I have been to festivals where you would arrive as a member of staff and you would be given nothing. I've arrived at festivals where, as a member of staff, you'll be given like a little brown bag with a sandwich in it. I think Bloodstock were good for that. They actually teamed up with like a local sandwich maker, I guess, and like you'd, all the staff would get like a little packed lunch. It was great. Bloodstock was one of the better ones to work for, sure. I mean, Community, first of all, you know, lovely people, but I'm going on a tangent there. But the most common thing was that you'll get meal vouchers. So sometimes with your meal vouchers, it'll be like, this is worth £5. So it's like you contribute a bit towards it. We all know, everybody listening to this podcast knows you can't get something for a fiver. Especially now.
No. Not a festival, no.
Yeah, no. So it's like, it's a contribution, I guess, is what we would always kind of have received in most cases. Or, you know, and as I've started to do a bit more media stuff, that you're sort of a bit better looked after there. As you'll get, you know, you'll get a voucher where it will actually equate to an actual meal rather than chips.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's good. Like, I'll always sort of like stock up, because I guess it's the same with media. You can't bring your own stuff in, right? It's a bit, you can spend a fortune, right? Especially now on the food alone.
Yeah. Well, all we got was we went to download as just regular festival goers, I guess, but we were allowed into the press area behind the stage area. That was it. So we didn't get any. We weren't really working. It was just access to the press area.
What's your favourite go to at download for the food? Have you got any sort of standouts that if you do? Because obviously there's a lot of hate against the Easy Cheesy, which, you know.
Oh, I'd never go to Easy Cheesy.
Justified hate against Easy Cheesy.
I went there once and, yeah, my guts paid for it.
No, I can imagine.
That was back in the day, though. I don't know, there's so many good places now. Like, I always get the Yorkie Pud on the Sunday.
Yeah,
that's
me too.
Like tradition.
I like that tradition.
Yeah, Yorkie Pud on the Sunday, got to be done.
Yeah.
But most of the time, I try new places, you know that, when I'm there. I'm like, oh, what do I fancy? Let's go there. I know some people that go to the same food vendors every time, but I try and mix it up.
That's way less fun that way. Yeah, way less fun. Yeah. You never know. Sometimes you'll come away and you go, wow, this is amazing.
Oh, yeah, but sometimes I've had stuff and I've been like, I just paid like 13 quid for this.
It's so sad, isn't it? Just looking down at kind of like a dry bun and you're kind of just looking. It's almost like the amount that you spent on it sort of like spells itself out in the sauce. And you're kind of like looking at it like, oh. You know where's really good for food? Glastonbury Festival is actually, you wouldn't really think you were at a festival at certain points when you were, when you were eating there. They full on canteens. If download are listening, please. Put a canteen in. It was great. It was great to be able to just go and get like canteen style fry up. That was just, you know, it was great. It was like they had seats and everything. And well, that's what I wanted. That.
Sorry.
Did they used to have that at Download?
There was one place that was like breakfast
on the right
one
hand side near the Blue Camp. Yeah.
Yeah. Breakfast one side, Chinese the other. And it was like loads of tables in the middle. And it was underneath.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've done that well now. Since they moved. Because Download's changed the site around. Since they moved it, that hasn't been there.
No.
Which sucks.
And I was going to say, I used to enjoy the chicken wraps as well. There was usually like two or three around the arena, but I haven't seen them for a while either.
Yeah, the Pilot, it was kind of, it felt like at the Pilot it was slim pickings, I think. And I ended
up at the Pilot. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great though, wasn't it?
It was amazing. Absolutely loved it. Loved it.
I will take less food options and find my burrito place for what that weekend was. I'll remember that forever, and I'm sure that everybody that was there will.
Yeah, it was great. Really good. Considering it was all British bands, the lineup was amazing. I was like, my God, it's like a really, really good, great lineup. And then people were saying, I think they were asking Andy Copping to say, maybe you should do like the big download and then like a smaller one. Because you could have other bands sort of play and use that as a sort of litmus test to put people on certain stages on the big one. And I was like, that's an interesting idea, actually.
It is, especially if it was at Donington, like, for sure. I think people will still be heading out to that.
Yeah.
It felt like some of the other festivals that I attend, like Tramlines Festival and Why Not, which are both kind of up here. They've got that kind of smaller sort of community vibe, but I think where Download thrived with that Pilot is I don't think there's a better sense of community at a festival. I really mean that as well. And I've worked and been to a lot of them now. You know, the metal ones are, they are that, right? But it was kind of like, you took that, and then you took it was the fact that everybody got out of, like, out of the house.
Yeah, the first time ever.
It was like euphoric the whole weekend.
Yeah, tripled everyone.
Absolutely wild.
Yeah, that was great.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I wasn't able to get to the pilot. But we've spoken to a lot of people recently who did go. There's only, 10,000 people could go. And we've managed to find quite a few, more than I thought you would.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
the only download that Adam's missed.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, fair
everyone since 2003, and even the Ozfest before in 2002.
Yeah.
Nice.
But
I was just looking back. Oh, God, sorry.
I couldn't get the... well, I probably could have got the pilot off of work, but... my partner would have had to have got time off work to look after the kids as well and everything, and it was too short notice. I couldn't do it.
It was already a difficult enough time with time off work and things like that anyway, wasn't it? It's let's hope we never go back to that again.
There's probably loads and loads of stuff we could talk about, but I think there was another one of your videos. You were ranking festivals, and you put download at the top, or maybe second. So at the top.
It was second. Yeah.
And I think you said it would have been at the top if there was more stuff to do.
Yes.
And, I mean, I've only ever been to Download, like I've said. Simon's done a few. So I thought it'd be interesting to find out or to hear from you, what kind of things do other festivals put on that, like, in as in, like, the village kind of area or that kind of thing? What kind of things do you enjoy doing at festivals?
That's a great question. That is a great question. I think the biggest part of that for me, and what I meant by that with Download, is obviously they have the doghouse and they have the camp, the village and things at night.
Yeah.
But if I was to take Kendall Calling, for example, you could go out at night and you could walk through the woods and you could walk through sort of like this immersive, really well decorated kind of like world that they make. They like create a world within these festival sites. And I think, you know, it wouldn't obviously work in the same way for Download, but I think just more kind of immersion and sort of fun things to do like that would be something that I would like to see. I know, like, they had the Brimming Horizon thing last year, right, where people were sort of trekking around the campsite. I think if you were to sort of, like, do a lot more stuff like that, I think, like, Download is a great festival, right, and that's why I put it so high up on that rank of things to do. However, I think that Download's offering is the music. The festival site itself is obviously exciting that it's Donington, but, like, I don't know. It doesn't feel like it. You don't feel like you're stepping into another world quite as much as you do with some of the other festivals that I've attended.
Yeah.
And I think Leeds Festival and Reading are exactly the same. I think it's probably just because they're spending money on the bigger bands, right? I think that's like kind of where that comes from, is that they maybe don't have the budget in the same way because the acts are massive that they're booking. But yeah, I think it's things like that. You know, like if I was to give an example of when I went to Glastonbury, and it's a very different festival, but when I was walking through, they have like an area called Shangri-La, which is like quite a famous area within the festival. And even just walking into that area, all of the stewards were like sort of like giving you high fives. They were dressed like stewards. I'm not too sure if they actually were. They had megaphones. They have megaphones, and they were sort of like, they were sort of just like emceeing people going into this area. And then it was just like, from that second, it was like the security were talking to you and going, "Have a good time in the naughty corner," and all this kind of thing. And then it was just like, boom. And it was like you were in a completely different world, really. Like, and I can't stress enough how good Glastonbury Festival is for that. You know, like, I think as a metal fan, if you just like metal and rock, Glastonbury Festival probably isn't for you. I'll be honest on that. And I think that's a question that I get quite a lot. People sort of say, would I like Glastonbury Festival? I go to Download, I go to Bloodstock. And if you also like drum and bass music, then hell yeah, you're going to have a great time. But
I'll be up for it then.
Yeah, if you don't like drum and bass or like kind of dance music in general, I think you'd struggle at Glastonbury.
Yeah. Sure. Although always, look, like you said about the festival itself, it looks like Glastonbury does it really well, but people have said that about Download for years. And then you get the French festivals like Hellfest.
Hmm.
It has everything Download has, but it has art installations.
Yeah.
It has more interesting sort of things. And you think about all the history that Download has from being at Donington this whole time, you know, having Monsters of Rock there in the 80s before, they should be able to do something, even if it's history-wise, and just do an installment of just something really interesting. I just think it's a like you said, they work so hard booking these big bands. They're putting all their time and energy into that and not how the festival looks necessarily.
Yes, that's why it was number two, not number one, legitimately that. Because, yeah. Like, you know, it was the community at Darlin, and I keep talking about it. Unless you've been, I don't think you can pick up what it's like there, right? Like, I don't think about going. It's very, very different to a lot of the other festivals in that sense, other than Bloodstock, I guess. And Bloodstock, it's funny you say about Bloodstock. I don't know how much you guys sort of talk about Bloodstock on here, but they have exactly what you mentioned. It was amazing. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but they're sort of, you know, they have like the art installation where they have the actual hand-painted paintings that were painted for the artwork. That is so cool. And that is like the sort of thing that Download could do, 100%. And just like that. And I think that the closest they got to that with this year was they kind of put the old lineups up. Right,
yeah,
the sort
yeah
of like,
that was cool, but Bloodstock had them in that studio and they had them every Bloodstock lineup, but like in a frame. And even though that's not vastly different, it felt so much cooler than putting them on like a thing that you would with any sort of billboard.
It's that removing yourself from the situation and being into something else, you know what I mean, that made that so exciting. I saw that they're going to have the Lemmy Ashes there this year with that. Yeah. As well, it's cool. That's cool. You got to hand it to Bloodstock. I think that they're doing a lot of these. I think that they possibly, as a smaller festival, actually have what we're talking about now in their sights. I think they're quite aware that the immersion needs to be sort of ramped up, and be interesting to see what Bloodstock do to.
It's a good way, though, isn't it, to sort of differentiate yourself from Download, even though you're a smaller festival, and maybe you can't compete with, even though they get some really great bands to play. Like somewhere I'm like, oh my God, how the hell did they get those to headline? But that's the way they're competing, is they're making the festival have more of a, not that Downer doesn't have a feel, but like a feel when you go there and you go, oh, yeah, like you feel like you're sort of somewhere else, which I like.
Yeah. That's really hard for them to create that as well. So you've got to really take your hats off to that they've managed. I think the consumers are certainly knowing the difference now.
Oh, everyone I've spoken to, right? They love Download. They go to Download for like 10 years. They go to Bloodstock. They never go to Download again. They just keep going to Bloodstock. So, yeah.
When I first joined TikTok, and I've not been doing it for very long, I only started doing it in May. One of the first videos that I wanted to do, I was like, if I was to think about something that, if I'm to take things out of my world of festivals that people that don't go to others would have ever heard of, and I was just like, binge ousting. It's got to be the binge ousting. Got to do a video about the binge ousting, because I'm in a unique perspective. I have been the guy trying to stop the binge ousting whilst also really not wanting to. It was every time we sort of tried to approach that situation, it was kind of like, oh guys, you've really got to stop doing this, please.
Well, the security a couple of years ago were like, right, two more jousts and it's over. So it's like two more jousts, and then the guy was like, that's it now. I said two more. I couldn't stop the fun just then. You've had your two.
It's funny because I saw some pretty serious bin jousting injuries, right? I saw like, because those bins get hammered to the point that it's just jagged metal sort of like stuff. It's like, and like, you know, no, I never saw anybody, I think this is a thing about metal fans, right? I wonder if this is, you get this for other music, but like, it's almost like they'll hurt themselves quite severely, albeit that in a mosh pit or having a bit of jagged bin stick into you, and they'll look down at their injury and then just be like, happened like every time. Like every time. It's almost like a badge of honour, right? When we were trying to say to people, that could kill you, that could kill you, there's no like ifs or buts about it, and they're like, it's metal though, it's metal. you got to admit that would be pretty metal to die. Been at Bloodstock, and I was like, you know, it would be.
I've heard of all kinds of ideas. They came up with an inflatable thing section, didn't they, last year for Bloodstock, because they wanted people to stop binge ousting, but the binge ousting continued. So now they've said, I think now they said they're gonna let everyone binge oust, but they're just gonna sort of maintain it a little bit more than it being so.
It's like a designated mental binge ousting arena, I think, is what I was
thinking. I think that's what's going to happen this year, literally.
They're taking their own bins as well, so they haven't got to pay out to replace the biffer bins.
Oh, yeah, because they keep having to pay for the vendor's bins that they keep destroying.
I mean,
that was like the, that was, oh, sorry.
to make it cheaper than that, they wouldn't have to buy bins. I think by, say, I don't know, 2030, they should have dedicated teams of people who go away for the whole year, build their own bins, put their own weapons on it. Kind of like Robot Wars.
Yes!
And then
yeah,
you bring them to download. And that's, yeah, it's fine.
That's a great idea. That is a great idea.
Matilda with the... No, Matilda's a thing on the back. I can't remember. I can't remember the Robot Wars, but... Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Killer, I remember that. Oh, my God, that's great. Oh, I love that.
I might jump on some AI thing and try and get a picture of some bins, but with the Robot Wars weapons. That'd be cool.
It's like... We like Red Bull, you know, they do the Red Bull soapbox races. It's kind of like that.
Oh,
one.
Yeah, that's such a good idea. Yeah.
Like their different sort of bins ready to joust. I think you've just coined something there, mate. I think you're 100% off. I think that I did a copy of it.
I've said it a few times online, but I don't think it's taken off, so I kind of wanted to say it again on here. We'll have thousands of people listen to it, and then we'll have protests and we want our own bins, like,
make this happen.
Well, people just turn up with their own bin, sneak in their own bins into Bloodstock like you do with beer.
It was always a really fun festival to search at, that one, to be on the search, and like, I mean, like, people would open up things and, you know, the stuff that you would see in those, yeah, it was hilarious, and like Bloodstock was definitely the biggest example of that one. I think it's just fun.
Yeah,
you've got to give us some examples now. You can't leave it at that.
Okay. I guess it depends how PG we're being. So I only knew we cut this out. It's not
bin weapons on bins.
so the best one that I ever had experienced at Bloodstock, and this person will be out there somewhere, so I hope they're listening. They opened their bag and it was just completely full of sex toys. Rampacked, right? I'm talking big, some serious kit. And obviously the question was, why do you have all of this on you? And, you know, it's not contraband. So, you know, whatever. It was whatever. And she just looked at me dead in the eyes and go, I work in porn. And I was like, okay. And, you know, obviously, like, you're a bit taken, it's not often you hear that every day. So I was like, okay. What? And she was like, yeah, like, you know, with dicks and that. And I was like, yes, I'm fully aware. I'm familiar with the concept of what it is. Yeah, that was definitely like the best one ever. I don't think anything ever beat that as well.
That is great.
Nice.
That is great.
Well, I suppose you can be, even though it's not contraband, so something that we've been thinking of, well, I've been thinking about, actually, we haven't discussed it together, but taking things to sell. Like, we're going to have our own merch this year, but before download, and I'm thinking, like, we're probably not allowed to sell our own stuff there, are we? I assume you would. Do you know anything about that? Not, it's not going to be official. We'll find out anyway. But it's kind of come up.
I would imagine they would certainly have something to say about that.
Yeah.
I think maybe, like, it's also depend on how you got them in. Because I think if you're rocking up with like a big box of t-shirts, I think it's going to be quite hard to deny that's what you're doing. So you'll just have to wear them all in. So I think that's how you'll get away with it. Just be like, wow, this guy is gigantic. What's going on there?
By the way, I didn't know we were selling things there. I thought we were giving things away there.
That's another thing. We could sell it all, you know, not
that's
actually sell anything there.
Is,
if we sell it beforehand and give it to the people who have bought it there, it's kind of a loophole, isn't it? But it's not really that much different either.
I don't think if money changes hands, if we're giving things to people, I think that's okay.
Yeah.
If we're going there and going, right, get your Dear Download t-shirts, five up, here we go. I don't think that's really
See if you can strike up a deal with the place that was a breakfast Chinese. See if they're happy to come merch or two alongside that.
Yeah.
See what those guys.
But now you're talking.
Just had a little wristbands delivered today, but I don't think we'll be allowed any of them in. We got our own
wristbands, mate.
Wristbands. Oh,
they're cool. They're cool, man. I like that because it fits awesome. With people keep them on. No,
yeah.
Sick,
yeah, exactly.
But I don't think I'll be able to take a big bag of wristbands in through security. So, what are those for? And why do they say download?
Yeah, I can imagine there might be some twitching eyebrows at that one. To be fair,
oh Jesus Christ!
Love them though; they're really cool.
Don't get us chucked out, Ed. Jesus.
No, I won't. Hey.
I recently have been working with Outbreak Festival. I don't know if you guys are aware of that one. It's like a big, it's like hardcore festival up in Manchester. I can't say what it is, but I will say I think they have come up with the best mosh related piece of merch ever. And I don't think I've seen it done before. So I'll keep an eye out for that one. It's going to be brilliant. Yeah. I think it will be copied. Really cool. Any listeners, if you like your hardcore music, keep an ear out for that, because
Cradle of Filth Bleeding Through one?
No, I'm not familiar with what that is.
Is that not Outbreak?
No, I think that is
Damnation.
Damnation. It's at the same place.
Going to Damnation, because not only am I a huge Cradle of Filth fan, I am a huge Bleeding Through fan as well. So I was like, oh, is that Outbreak? No, it's not. It's Damnation. Yeah.
Wear shorts is my advice. And that venue is great, but it is very, very warm.
Yeah, that's cool.
But it's in the same way as they had, like last year was all the melting goths at Download, right? It was just the same. It was just the same, but it was melting hardcore kids. and they had Turnstile and Basement back to back. And yeah, no, to this day, I've not been in a hotter venue.
Turnstile are great live.
Yes, phenomenal. I think they've really changed the game as well. You know, like I don't think without Turnstile, we would see as many of these hardcore bands on Download this year. To be honest, I think their impact has been so big of what they've actually done for hardcore. It's funny, we sort of talked about this before. Like Download Festival was always something that was in the background for me. It was like, I remember, I think it was the 2007 year with My Chemical Romance. Yep. Was my first sort of like, oh wow, I'd love to go to that. But then as I gradually started progressing towards more hardcore stuff, there was the occasional thing. It was like Malevolence got put on there, and you know, whatever happened there happened, and there wasn't like a wealth of hardcore stuff Download. And now there is. It's great for me. Like to see that bottom bit, I think there's like Zulu, Scowl, Guilt Trip, and Speed. You were like, there's like four of my absolute favourites that are going to be huge within that scene. And I think that alongside, you know, the incredible new bookers and things like that, I think the Turnstile and like the hardcore resurgence definitely had something to do with that.
You can tell there's definitely a hardcore fan in the booking team at Download. Someone's in there going, how can I get loads of hardcore bands into this year's lineup?
I don't know how much you've ever kind of gone into this on here. So Cameron Hack, who is now, I think he might be their lead booker at Download Festival. He used to put on hardcore shows in Manchester. That's where I knew of him. So I think that's probably his influence, really. Like, he was putting on shows at the Star and Garter in Manchester when I was like 15. So it's really cool to see him now grow to do what he's doing within Download, because there's no better place for him as well. Yeah. And like, I think he came in, and then the new team of bookers, who I know you've spoke to on here, came in. And I think they just offered like a fresh perspective.
Yeah.
And it's just so good. It's so good. I was so happy with like the influence that these people have brought in for Download, because now, if it stays as it is, rather than being something that's in the background for me and I'll be doing Slam Dunk and Outbreak, like now it'll be Download. Do you know what I'm saying? Because it's sort of like taking a step into more subgenres.
I think Download, as a whole, though, was kind of falling behind for a few years. Kind of not necessarily. No, they still put new bands on, but it felt a bit stale. But I do think in the last probably since it's come back after COVID, really, the lineups have really started to change and get much more fresh since the pilot. Yeah. I mean, you can't deny that Download are putting on like a plethora of great new bands. Including the old ones, of course, but also sort of focusing and going, you know, this is the next generation of bands coming up. We need these guys to come up, otherwise there will be no festival in the future.
Yeah. But they nailed it. They just nailed it with this year's lineup in that regard. Like, I think that, you know, the biggest thing for me has been the sort of like questioning about the headliners and if the headliners work and things. But whatever you think about that, look underneath the headliners. It's wild from start to bottom. It is an absolutely stacked lineup. And I was actually taken back by it. Obviously, I make videos about festivals, so I see all sorts of lineups. And I couldn't believe that people were being so critical towards it. I think that it was one of those things that I kind of wanted.
The same.
It's like you kind of want to say, I think this might be on you for not listening to a lot of new bands. You know, I think a lot of the people that were complaining about saying, like, I don't know anyone on here, and it was kind of like, well, whose fault is that? It feels
it's true,
like
though. Like, kind of everyone really has concentrated on the headliners this year, which I would admit, yes, they're probably not the best headliners for Download, but it would still be good. But it's one of the best undercards the festival has had in a long time, I think.
Absolutely.
But people really haven't been concentrating on that, where I've been like, have you seen how many insane bands are playing this festival this year? Like, forget the headliners, man. Like, this is crazy. Yeah. But yeah, fell on it.
I heard you talking about the sort of quiet minority. Oh, sorry, not the quiet, the not so quiet minority, really. I think that, like,
yeah, the loud minority. That's Adams.
Yeah.
Adams.
But you're so right, though, because it is the loud minority. And from working in music venues and working on social media, that 100% is what it is. And you've just got to not let that sort of, like, you know, blur your vision of what is otherwise a really good thing. Because, like, it is, like, the stuff that I saw about people sort of complaining most about it was Fall Out Boy. I think that works completely. If My Chemical Romance were doing it in 2007, why are people shocked to see Fall Out Boy here, like, later down the line? Like I don't really get that. Queens of Stone Age is, like, one of the best live bands I've ever seen, I think.
I'm really looking for... I'm a huge Queens fan, never seen them. Buzzing to see them. I can't wait.
Yeah, I saw them at I was really lucky. I got to see them twice last summer. I saw them at Glastonbury during Elton John. So that might have been one of the smallest crowds they've ever played to at a festival. And then I saw them again in Mad Cool in Madrid. And both times they just absolutely took the roof off it. I think I sort of had a new lease of appreciation for Queens of the Stone Age following seeing them live, because it really, really impressed me.
I watched Avenged Sevenfold from Glastonbury last year, and it just looked and sounded just fantastic.
It was excellent, and I think that everyone was giving us a hard time about leaving Elton John. Like, you know, they said, I can't believe you're leaving Elton John, I can't believe you're doing this. And it was just like, well, I like Queens of the Stone Age more than I like Elton John, so that doesn't really feel like it's that difficult choice for me. And then for us to arrive, we'd only missed one song, and it was just from front to back just phenomenal. So I think that I think it's in the same way that Bring Me the Horizon had naysayers. There's going to be a lot of people that come away from Download Festival this year, like, wow, Queens of Stone Age are one of the best live bands I've ever seen. I can guarantee that.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. And then obviously, like, Avenged Sevenfold, for me, it's I Can Take It or Leave It. I think, to me, if you were to name a Download band, I'd put them on there, for sure. Mm. It was a really mixed response. I don't think I'll be at that. To be honest, I think that'll be the only headliner that I'm kind of not too fussed about myself.
I mean, it's like you say, it feels like a Download one. It's quite a safe one. I mean, they are touring. I think no matter what the lineup was, they were going to be on it anyway, just because of the scale of their tour. But it is a very safe one for Download, because they know that people from the Download world are going to be fans of Avenged Sevenfold. But I mean, I haven't watched them in a long time, so I don't. And it doesn't help that their new album is the fucking weirdest thing ever and makes literally no sense. And
a lot of people have been flabbergasted
by that as well. So,
I think I put something out on TikTok where I sort of said, like, or somebody said basically very similar to what you've just said, where they went, the new Avenged Sevenfold album is really not that great. It's got a bit of weird structure to it. And I was like, Avenged Sevenfold had a new album out? I wasn't aware of that. Which I think kind of said it all for me. But, like, you know, I wasn't surprised to see him on the Download.
You need to listen to it. Even if you just flick through it, it is a trip, man. It is so weird. You'll be like, what on earth am I listening to?
Because I was never, like, hugely into them anyway. Do you know what I mean? I feel like as a younger person, I went down that kind of My Chemical Romance, emo-y, teen kid kind of route. And I think that although they were there in the background, that kind of represented a different subgenre for me growing up. They got some good songs though. Like, I think they'll put on a great performance. I've worked their live shows a couple of times. It was good. Just not really
your thing.
Not my go-to.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I think I've said a few times, it's going to be interesting to see how busy it is this year. At first I was saying it's going to be quiet. Then I realised just how big and popular Fall Out Boy are. So then I was thinking, maybe it will be quite busy. So, yeah, it's difficult to call at the moment.
It was weird, wasn't it, last year? Because, like, Bring Me the Horizon, at the start, for me, looked like it was going to be a really small crowd. And where I was stood, there were still people sat on their folding chairs. So it was like the audience just engulfed the people in the chairs.
Yeah.
And got to the point of being one of the biggest festival crowds I think you've ever seen in the end.
Yeah.
So I think it could be like that. You know, yeah. Fall Out Boy, one of these ones.
Yeah, sorry, I was talking about the festival in general, whether, you know, it's going to be close to selling out. Oh, okay. Last year obviously sold out. We've been, 2022 was very quiet. So, yeah, that's one thing we've been talking about.
2022 was one of the quietest I've ever, which is crazy because you would have thought it's the first proper download since COVID. It was dead, man. It was
Who was it? Who was it? Was it Biffy Clyro? Biffy Clyro? Yeah.
Iron Maiden.
Biffy Clyro Maiden.
And, you know, you're not be so good.
I know. My brain is gone.
Slipknot?
No. Who was it?
My brain is my brain.
I can't remember.
You know, I feel like I could ask me anything from any other year. For some reason, I can't remember 2022.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think a lot of the festivals were like that. To be fair, I think there was kind of this. Even still in 2022, I think there was like, or out of whatever, there was still this kind of weirdness about attending festivals.
Yeah, I
think
I guess so.
People got over it fast. I think people got over it fast, but it was there for a bit. You sort of saw it in the clubs. DJing at. It felt like, because when the world reopened, I remember the club that I was working at was thinking, this is going to be one of the most, this is going to be off the scale. And then in the end, I think just 600 people came for a club night, which usually has double that in. It was a really weird time.
Yeah.
You're still trying to think of it. Oh, okay, you're done.
I'm not. I've given up. it comes to me. If not, no.
Yeah, it's probably someone like Def Leppard or.
One of the ones that were kind of, it was that thing, wasn't it? the rotation of bands that people were happy with, but kind of wanted something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a couple of things I want to pick up on that we talked about ages ago now, it feels like. But you said download, we've said it before, download doesn't really have much of a personality of its own. The same as Reading and Leeds. They are all Live Nation. So, I mean, I don't actually know all of the festivals that Live Nation do, but I wonder if it's just something, just a Live Nation thing that maybe they don't allow the teams to put the extra in.
Yeah, possibly. But they do Isle of are they Isle of Wight as well? Possibly.
I think you obviously know more than we do.
Yeah, I think they also do Isle of Wight, or they have another one that they do down south, which is a bit more immersive. I think it's the budget thing. I really think it is. I think it's the case that, I mean, they've got to be very expensive bands to book, right? I think what people are seeing as well in the current climate is kind of these bands as well going, oh well, I know that we're incredibly hard to book, so let's stick a bit of extra cash on top of that as well. And I think that's what
kind of
hurting the festivals in that sense. I understand everybody wants to get their pay in, but I don't know. I feel like it's just the attendees that end up suffering if that keeps on happening.
Yeah, we should probably start to wrap it up around about here. We say this all the time, but we could probably talk to you for another 4 hours about music and festivals. Time has just flown by, but I want to ask you. Do you have a favourite festival?
Yeah.
What, like, are you asking him a specific year?
Oh, no. Or... generally, a favourite festival I really like it. Any year. Yeah.
Okay. So I do have an answer for this, and it might surprise you. So it is Slam Dunk.
Okay.
Slam Dunk is my favourite.
Do not watch Simon's Slam Dunk vlog last year, ever.
You know, it sounds like it was an absolute nightmare for a lot of people. And, you know, I think that the team that have been running that have been the first to admit that it probably wasn't great. But for me, why I love Slam Dunk so much is actually just because it's a bit of a mates fest. You know, like it feels like being up here in Yorkshire, it is the best place to just bump into everybody that you know. And I think, obviously, they've got that. The music that Slam Dunk have, the headliners have maybe not been incredible for the last few years. But again, I think they do very well with the up-and-coming bands that I'm particularly interested in. So for me, I get to have a great day with all my mates, meet a load of people that I probably won't see for another year. I mean, in the same way, I'm sure it is for you guys with Download. You see people that, and you know, you can. They just, I think for me, Slam Dunk has always really stood out because they do some things to me which are quite special. Like they had the Wonder Years played their two albums in full, which is just doesn't seem to see other places doing that. I know the Blackout are now doing the Best in Town in full at that one as well, which I was a big emo kid. I'm absolutely stoked on that. So for that, it is Slam Dunk, 100%. In regards to just in the wider picture what my favourite festival is, because I just think it's very, very good. It's got to be Glastonbury again. Like, it really does live up to the hype, I think. And it was a really, really special week. However, that would be affected by the weather for sure. I know that all festivals are, but I think that Glastonbury, like, I look at how you got onto the festival site and you're literally going over like tractor marks, because, you know, it's a field, right, the other time. So I think if the rain got introduced to that, I think that might really affect that experience. But for me, I think that I've been doing them for 15 years. I came away from Glastonbury and was just like, wow, this really is next level. So I think, Slam Dunk and Glastonbury. We've downloaded a third place.
Said that it was a Slam Dunk was a friends meet. I mean, I had the same thing last year where all of my mates were there, people that I haven't seen in ages were there. And I think that if I was to go again, I would treat it more like a mate's hang rather than I was going with my sort of festival reviewer head on.
Yeah.
And it was shockingly bad. I mean, all the way from the sound to the vendors, it was atrocious.
This was Hatfield one,
South.
Right?
Yeah, this was South.
Yeah, so I think I got lucky in like, obviously there seems like there was issues with the Leeds one too. Honestly, I didn't experience any of them. It was like, I felt like I was at a different festival compared to what people were putting online. I was so surprised. And I don't know if that's just because there's a bit more festival experience behind me and I know that I can look over at a food van and go, you're going to be stood there for an hour and a half.
Let's just
eat later. You know, it was just little things like that. But yeah, no, the South one sounds like it was really bad.
But like I said, I mean, I would go again, but then I would maybe go and see a couple of bands and then just hang out with my mates the rest of the time and treat it more like a mate's hang, and maybe they might be able to get back in my good books again.
Well, I'm actually going to look to attend South for the first time this year, so that will be with my content creator head on. So what I want to, because that's the big thing with, I'm only just sort of dipping my toe into content creation and doing this kind of thing. However, I remember I saw on the TPD videos, they said something like, if we've got our camera out, the chances are we're not having as much of a good time as we can be. And that to me really stuck with me, because my time with my friends is ultimately very, very important. So what I would like to do is kind of treat South as a content creator day and get some interviews in and kind of really, and also, you know, it's the first time doing it, so it'll be interesting from that perspective. I've been going to the one up north since I was like 18. So what, we're talking 12 years. And that, I just think, just no content. I think that's the way to go there. And just as you say, like, I'll have done the day before.
I hope it's not as bad this year as it was last year.
Well, I guess we're going to find out, aren't we? I guess we're going to find out. I think they'll redeem themselves, you know. Like, I think they're quite...
They have to.
They have to, yeah. And I think they know that it's going to be some pretty serious...
I haven't seen a festival have to put a statement out because the festival was so bad before. Like, that is shocking.
I thought it was kind of interesting that they actually did that. You know, because they did a full report into it and everything, and like, I was kind of like, from the perspective of somebody that has had a bit of event involvement, I'd have just not put that out.
It came
a while after that had all happened as well, so like, it felt like to me that, like, you know, and I think it's great that they did that. It showed that they care. And I've met some of these people that work for Slam Dunk Festival, and I can share this on here. There was one person that I saw who is quite high up in Slam Dunk when that weekend was happening. And I saw one glimpse of that person all weekend, and it was them in the tent legitimately like this. It was one of these things that they were getting a lot of flack online, like, you know, this was a scam, these people don't care, blah, blah, blah. I can say straight up, they were devastated about what was happening, and I witnessed that firsthand. So, like, that was kind of, I had a little bit of a insight that other people didn't have when people were sort of saying, like, you know, these people don't give a shit and all this kind of thing. Like, I've met a few of those guys, and I think they do. And I think they also know now, just as you say, they have to get it right this year. They have to get it really, really right.
I respect them for putting it up. Like, it actually takes more bollocks to put something up and say, yeah, we messed up. Then sometimes, you know, at least they're being transparent and saying, like, we definitely didn't want this to happen, but it did. I'm sure it will put a few people off, but I think over time they'll be fine and still continue to do really well. But I'm definitely not going back this year. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I had a thing that it was like, I think the people that were kicking off the most, I was just like, well, we'll see what the lineup is saying, and I'll see you next year. Yeah. But I don't know if UB at 6 is necessarily strong enough to appeal to that audience, but, it's good fun.
Yeah. You never know. Last minute, I might go, I just want to go hang out with my mates. I might see you there.
Yeah. It's honestly the best for that, right? And I don't know how they've kind of created that in the way that they have. Like, I think Sam Dunk's got like a lot of, I'm going to sound really stupid here because they are all big open fields, but like Slam Dunk North, I can't speak for down south, felt like it had just like a bit more places to chill. Do you know what I mean? And kind of like have a chat in between bands and that kind of thing. Mm. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, we really should probably wrap it up there though, like I said. But Liam, you said you do a lot of DJing. I probably should have asked, do you have a DJ name actually? People can actually look out for you on posters or whatever.
I actually don't have a DJ name. I've been really unexciting in that way. But
We'll put a poll out and people can give you a DJ name.
At one point, I think we were like toying with the idea of DJ Hefty Chunk.
Right.
Which I thought was just something a bit silly. But it's just LT Walto for everything is really what I'm going by at the moment.
LT Walto, cool.
Yeah.
And I'll make sure I put that in the episode notes with it spelled out properly and everything. And so I know you said the one venue, but do you do it lots of different places as well?
Yeah. So I do the Key Club up in Leeds, which I'm sure a lot of people listening here will have heard of. I do the Lead Mill, and then just kind of really wherever else will have me. I kind of work with a team called Deadbolt, who are sort of Manchester based, and I'm sort of gravitating more towards doing some shows with them a bit closer to home where I'm from. And I've got Liverpool coming up on the 23rd, I think.
Awesome. Before we go as well, then, do you want to just give a quick plug? Well, not necessarily so quick. You don't have to be quick. Give a plug to your TikTok or Instagram where people can find you online to find out all this awesome stuff.
Yeah, for sure. So it's LT Walto on TikTok and Instagram. It's where I'll sort of catalogue my DJing and sort of content about festivals and alternative stuff. If you like alternative music or festivals, the chances are I think you'll probably enjoy the stuff that I'm putting out. Also, if you have like the sort of music that I've been talking about and you do go to these club nights that you think are a bit stale, get LT Walto tagged in the comments. Let them know that you want this guy to come and do something. I'll play anywhere. As long as there is a crowd of people who love alternative music, I'll be there for sure.
Nice. And if you didn't know before hearing all this, he obviously knows what he's talking about. So yeah, go and follow him on all of the social media. See, this finishing. I'm bloody rubbish at finishing. I was fine in the middle, man.
You got it.
Right, yes, and so if you didn't know beforehand, Liam obviously knows what he's talking about with all this kind of stuff. Go and follow him on Instagram, TikTok. I'll put it all in the episode notes as well, and in the any shorts I make of it or whatever on TikTok as well. Thank you so much for coming on, Liam. It's been a really cool chat, and I'm sure we'll keep in touch in the future from here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for both having me on. I guess I'll see you at Download Festival. We'll see you sort of roaming around. I'll be going there. Thank you so much. I've had a great time.
Yeah, and there you go. That was the interview with Liam. Very interesting. I bet you were expecting Adam's voice after that interview, weren't you? Fooled you. Very good. He was a very, very nice man. Massively experienced just in the music industry in general. Obviously, he's worked in security and just worked throughout. But yeah, I really enjoyed that conversation. And like we said, we could have easily sat there for 3 hours and talked to him.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think towards the beginning, you were a bit quiet, but then in the middle, I couldn't get over an edgeways. Like
I was just letting him speak. And then he kept on talking about really interesting points. So yeah, I was just like,
jump in. Yeah.
Me and him are going to be the new Dear Download. I'm going to get rid of Adam.
Hey,
even though without him there is no podcast, but yeah,
I'll still edit it if you want.
Fine, just chuck you out and then go. I'm just going to send you all the audio if you could please. just <as it
is. laughs> I'll definitely get you in trouble with the things you say. cut words up so you talk about like Nazi Germany all the time or something.
Oh,
just splice them together. Yeah, that word sounds like Nazi now. Okay, we should wrap it up here. And we need to say a massive thank you to our Patreons. We have a new Patreon to thank this episode as well. Thank you to Ethan Brown, you absolute massive legend. He did join the Discord as well, and he did say that I've been a listener for a while. I thought it was probably about time I joined the Discord, yeah. Joined the Patreon.
Good. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, and he joined.
And the same to the rest of you listening. If, like Ethan, if you want to join and you haven't joined, join the Discord.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a lot of fun. But yes, thank you very much for joining, dude.
Yeah. And I just remembered as well, actually, we did say earlier about changing things up. And I thought, I couldn't remember whether we changed the £5 tier. We changed the name of it. That's what was in the back of my head.
Oh, yes.
So the names of them have changed. So the £3
tier. Yeah, go through the names. We were having fun coming up with these.
Yeah. The £3 tier is still acoustic guitar in the campsite. The £5 tier was meant to be the doghouse. I accidentally named it the dog tooth. And it has been like that ever since I made it. But it's now chilling in Blue Camp. And at the eight pound tier is the doghouse. The £10 tier is the courtyard stage. And we have another one. A much more expensive one. This is a £2,500 tier. And it's called Private Showing in Mr. Copping's Bedroom. And if only one person can join that one, we put a limit on it. And if you join at that one, you get everything from the previous tiers. And Simon will come and chill with you for the weekend. So if anyone wants to take us up on
come on. Come on. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I will do it as well. I will legitimately come out wherever you live, as long as it's in the UK.
Yeah.
I will come out and I will chill with you. We'll have a great time.
If it's Sweden, I'll do it.
Yeah. I'm a good laugh sometimes, so yeah. It'll be good.
And just to think, I've had that for free before now. As well, your stag do and the Bournemouth.
I should have charged you for hanging out with me.
But yes, so we have, as I said, we've got the new Patreon, Ethan Brown, and we did give everyone a chance to change their names again. I just need to check that nobody has changed it since. No, nobody has changed their name since we started recording. So, Patreons, massive thank you to you, all you absolute legends. Ethan Brown, Matthew, Mike Rochburns. I had to write that down earlier, and it took a couple of seconds to click. Scott Seeger, Jockstraps, Andy Copping. I don't know if that's the right way around now. I'm Simon Bond, and I... Remember what that one is?
No, what was that one?
I'm Simon Bond, and I hate TikTok.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Forgot about that. It's true, though. I really do.
Yeah. Christopher Hambridge, George Butler, Dean Delicado, Dan Jacobs-Cross, James Harrison, and Andy Copping stole my Sendero 4. Thank you all for being Patreons. We absolutely, absolutely, really, absolute legends. We are absolute legends. You are absolute legends. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much for being Patreons. If anybody else wants to become a Patreon, you can do. You can click on the episode description and you'll find a link tree in there. The Patreon will be in that link tree. I think someone said it the other day. It's actually at the bottom. I've not looked at it for a while. That's terrible for me. Yeah, it's in there somewhere. I might have a look at it all and make everything a bit easier to find as well, actually. Maybe have a...
But also, is the link tree on our Instagram?
Yes. Yeah, it's on the bio for our Instagram. It's everywhere. Did I put it in the bio for TikTok? I don't think I did. I should do that. I'll put it in the bio for TikTok as well. It'll be everywhere. I'm going to look at it actually in the next couple of days and make it easier to find everywhere again. So yeah, if you want to join the Patreon, you'll get access to the five song set lists for the £8 tier. Or you'll get access to giving us a 5-song set list to listen to at the £10 tier. It'll all be explained in there, or the 2,500 tier if you want to. Someone must do it. But yeah, that's it. We like we say every episode, join the Discord anyway, even if you're not interested in becoming a Patreon. We have a lot of fun in there. We've been talking about all sorts of stuff. People are sharing the news of what's going on with Download every day, so you don't have to wait for the 2 weeks for us to come and talk about it. And they're good.
I think building up to Download, Discord is going to be a really crazy place. And of course, at Download, we're probably going to do, I don't know if we talked about this, but we're going to do another meetup, I'm guessing, this year. And, you know, it's just a great place to get involved with all of that and come and meet everyone that you speak to on the Discord all year. So, yeah, it's good. This is good. After Adam said 10 weeks, now I'm like, oh, shit, we better get stuff moving, man. How is it 10 weeks to Download? You just blew my mind.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I knew that from the Discord. People were talking about it earlier. So another reason to join the Discord. You'll know how long Download is away. I don't know. We got to go. Thank you all for listening. It's been a great episode. Thanks to Liam for coming on. I'll put links to all of his stuff in the show description as well, episode description. But we have to go. Thank you, Simon, for being here again. Would you like to say goodbye? No. So it's going to be a goodbye from Simon.
Goodbye.
And a goodbye from me. Goodbye.